Welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Great to be with you as we start this broadcast today, and I want to thank you for taking the time to join us live right here on the Grace Hour, and we hope that today's broadcast will not only inform you, but encourage you, and we also want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving. Of course, we will be having a taped message tomorrow on the Grace Hour broadcast, so those of us that are here live in the studio today want to take this opportunity and wish you and yours a blessed Thanksgiving holiday. And friends, we want to remind you as well, don't forget to subscribe to the Grace Hour on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. My name is Pastor John Love, and joining me in the studio today, Pastor Barry Quirk, as we do each and every Wednesday here on the Grace Hour. And, well, this is a little bit of a different subject matter than what we're used to in previous Thanksgiving broadcasts. Usually the week is dedicated to Thanksgiving, and we highlight that theme usually and typically year after year here in the Grace Hour. And I think that we'll have a chance to do that, of course. But at the same time, we are dealing with a very important theme and subject matter, and it has to do with same-sex relationships. And, of course, someone recently pointed out to me that, you know, there are very few people today that are not impacted by this, whether it's a family member, a close friend or associate, someone that you know, someone in your sphere of influence has been impacted by same-sex relationships today, unlike perhaps anything that we've seen in previous generations. And that's not to suggest that same-sex relationships didn't exist in previous generations, but I think that it was not so much a part of our culture as it is today, and we see it, again, more and more and more. And I think just a few basic principles, Pastor Barry, before we get into our subject matter today and answer some of the questions that may be looming largely on people's minds. You know, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all inclusive. Yes. It's unfortunate, really it is, that some churches have expressed rejection and hatred towards those who practice this kind of sin, suggesting, of course, that this kind of sin is different from every other kind of sin. But again, when God makes that declaration that all have sinned and come short of his glory, he means everybody. And of course, we here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, we affirm God's love for everyone. And there is absolutely no place for hate in the hearts of God's people, or that matter, anybody. But of course, we understand the world that we're living in is broken. It's in sin, and it's controlled by the God of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. So we do see hatred. But you think about the recent tragedy that took place in Colorado Springs. Again, that's pure evil, pure hatred directed towards those who suffered the loss of life and experienced injuries and families left devastated and broken. But today we're going to focus more on this principle that marriage designed by God is for a man and a woman. So let's kind of delve into that on that note. And Pastor Barry, again, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thanks, Pastor Love, and happy Thanksgiving.
Amen.
I would say one of the main things that we enjoy about Thanksgiving is the fact that we have a provision that is eternal, and we have real satisfaction, right? So,
amen.
So maybe we are doing a Thanksgiving broadcast just in a little different form today.
That's right.
A couple of things right off the bat. You mentioned, you know, the hatred that is assigned with homosexuality, and it's, you know, Galatians 5:19 is very clear. There's a whole list of works of the flesh and sin, adultery, fornication, envying, seditions, heresies, murders, homosexuality, you know, one of those works of the flesh. It's rare that we walk up to somebody and hate them just because they are somebody who practices fornication, you know, but somehow, because of the spirit that goes along with the agenda for the same-sex lifestyle, has you know, caused many to be polarized in the views with hatred, or on the other side is, you know, going out of your way to express compassion, sometimes at the stake of what really the main issue is, which is telling the truth in love. And I like there's a little bit of a definition I just wanted to give as a precursor to our discussion. One author said that the definition of sexuality, it refers to God's anthropological design and pattern for the procreative relationship between male and female. So right off the bat, without a proper healthy relationship, you know, we're going to run out of population at some point, right? By God's design for procreation, there has to be a male and a female involved in that. Right now, how do we experience that? Well, God actually even created pleasure in that between the man and the woman. What the world would like to do is shift that pleasure to lust and to how it benefits an individual. But truly, procreation, which happens, and the marital bed between a spouse who loves the opposite spouse more than themselves, has pleasure to it, and that's awesome. And then the gender issue that is so prevalent today and so attacked today, it refers to biological differences in male and female embodiment and the different cultural ways in which creational distinctions between male and female are manifested. And I think one of the things that we're going to talk about today about the plan of God for marriage and why it's so crucial and why it's so important is that the devil loves to pervert things that bring glory to God. And marriage and a healthy sexual relationship in marriage is something that brings great glory to God because of the design that he has for it.
Hmm. You know, you brought out a good point earlier in your comments that, you know, the church, the body of Christ, all believers that make up the body of Christ, they have to guard their hearts against self-righteousness.
Yes.
It's just so easy, and I think everybody that's listening today as believers would agree with this. It's so easy to point out, to recognize, and to see sin in other people's lives, but yet to dismiss it or to cover it or to not see the reality of it in our own lives.
Yes.
And, of course, if there was one sin that really seemed to, well, just capture the attention of Jesus, and he addressed it repeatedly, it was the sin of self-righteousness.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy, and I'm sorry to have to say that, but I think it's easy for people in the church today to recognize this particular sin in the lives of others and to condemn it and to fail to recognize that all of us, we're all dealing with sin to some degree and in some measure in our own lives.
Yeah, that pride, that monster pride that Pastor Stevens used to talk about, right? It's the grace of God that we are not consumed. His mercies are brand new every day. And the thing I love about a program like this is we're not here to shout the law at people. We're here to say, let's have the conversation about what God's real design for your life is and how can we experience the real satisfaction and blessing that comes out of a life that's submitted to God. Pride says, you know, I'm a better quality of Adam than somebody else. But we all have, you said so, the Apostle Paul said it in the book of Romans, and you said it earlier today, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Which degree of sin, which style of sin, which type of sin? Is there a sin that's better than the other? Is there a sin that Jesus looks at less seriously than others? No, it's all falling short of the glory of God.
Yeah, and you know, some troublesome images in our minds, perhaps from what we have witnessed maybe years ago, maybe even more recently, are groups of so-called professing Christians who carry their signs and, you know, write on those signs how much they hate this particular sin.
Yes.
They hate those who practice the gay lifestyle. And again, this is the message that unfortunately is being sent to the watching world, that Christians, evangelical Christians, practice hate, intolerance, and have no real love. Because I think that's what they're asking themselves is, where's Jesus in that? Where's God's love in that? And isn't it true that our churches, our ministries, whatever church or ministry you're part of, must become communities of grace.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the big mistakes that we make, whether it's a legalistic bent or a lascivious bent, is that we start to draw our moral compass from the society that we surround ourselves with. And even the evolution of our convictions could be because we're trying to satisfy the certain desires of an influencing party. And you're right. I mean, we need places where we can go and find out that before God, we are filled with grace and mercy. And he's brought us to a place in this ministry and in many great pulpits across America and around the world to places where they can hear the pure gospel of grace, but also they can hear what God's real design is for their lives, which is to experience grace and it is to experience deliverance. And there's such a stigma that is put on sexuality, mainly because the world has perverted it in such a way that it's filled with shame and it's filled with difficulty and it's filled with unrest. And we're saying experience the grace of God and also experience how God's real design for your life to experience a real relationship with him is.
Yeah. And of course, when we talk about those principles and we talk about becoming communities of grace, then we hear other believers chime in and say, wait a minute, you cannot tolerate it. You cannot endorse it. But again, we can express God's love for every person, mm-hmm. regardless of their sexual orientation.
Yes.
But we oppose any movements within any churches to accept or endorse these same-sex relationships. So yeah. There's that balance. But again, the moment you talk about grace, the moment you talk about loving, they just say, well, if you do that, you're only going to open the door for the continual habitual practice of that sinful lifestyle.
Yeah, and that's a misnomer. I mean, the point is, you know, I remember a man years ago in our ministry had a Bible study for, at the time, he described it as young drug addicts. And it kind of struck me as funny because I thought, well, I wonder when the Bible study for young fornicators or young ex-homosexuals is happening. And, you know, in reality, it doesn't matter what label we have. Every one of us needs to have God's pointing grace, revealing the fallacy of our way and being drawn to him. Just because we love the sinner does not mean that we love or condone the sin. The sin, it doesn't stand before God, and it will be dealt with by God. It's not a mistake that we love people and we hate the sin. Now, some people would say, have compassion on the person. Well, what is real compassion? Is real compassion letting a person blindly go off a cliff and into hell? Or is it confronting them in love and saying, I love you so much that I want you to understand the error of your way and be drawn into a righteous lifestyle with God? By the way, righteous lifestyle with God, it's God's righteousness. We all, if it was left to our own devices, we'd be failing every single moment. We do anyways. But his mercies are brand new every single day. His compassions are new every single day. And he gives us what we need to live in his righteousness.
Yeah. And imagine, you know, if that same compassion is in our hearts and the same desire to distribute new mercies are found in our hearts.
Yes.
That's going to make a big difference in people's lives.
Absolutely.
Well, friends, we want you to know we're having this conversation live in our studio today, but you can join us. The phone lines are open, and we're certain that some of you have questions and concerns and issues regarding this subject matter that we've been discussing throughout this week on the Grace Hour. So we want to give you a chance to voice those concerns and thoughts or ask those questions that you may have. Join us live. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, and we'll get you right into the conversation as soon as you call. The local number, 410-483-3700. So take this opportunity and participate in the broadcast and join us live on the Grace Hour on this Wednesday morning. You know, I'm just in my mind, Pastor Barry, I'm thinking of a young man or a young woman that maybe, you know, struggling in this particular area, same-sex relationships, but, you know, at the same time coming under some conviction in their hearts and saying, I know this is wrong, but what hope is there for me? And I think that this is where the church is so crucial in the lives of those people that think this way, because there's got to be the door of hope that's left open. Mm-hmm. And they've got to be, they've got to know that, listen, I can go to that church. I know where they stand about this particular issue and this particular sin, but I know I can go there and I know that I'm not going to be rejected. I know that, you know, somebody's not going to meet me at the door and say, you can't come in here. So we've got to keep that door called hope open so that some of these people can walk through it.
Yeah. I mean, the issue of redemption is something that is such a real part of the message of grace, you know, redemption. And when we walk in the door to church service, there's nobody checking what sins we have had happen this particular week before we get to the church pew. You know, God's design is that we would come and have all of our issues dealt with. We'd be reminded of the blood of Christ, which has paid the price for our sin. If salvation is really no longer a sin issue, it's a relationship issue, then we're coming there as people who are working on our relationship. And somebody who has maybe fallen into a lifestyle, and by the way, homosexual or illicit heterosexual are both sinful and harmful. So we could make the distinction and say, you know, same-sex marriage or the attraction to somebody in the same sex, and it is dangerous and it is harmful because it draws away from what the real design of a relationship is. But at the same time, so is a relationship that is illicit outside of God's marriage design. You know, we think of this illustration and we say it to the teenagers sometimes. Fire is a beautiful thing. You know, fire in a fireplace is an awesome thing, especially in the wintertime when you have a fireplace that is roaring fire and it's bringing warmth and it's bringing comfort and it's, quite frankly, just enjoyable to watch. But if you open the gate to the fireplace and let that fire burn across your living room, it's no longer beautiful and it's no longer helpful, but it's extremely harmful. So can we be brought to a place where we can experience something that God meant to be very beautiful and very useful? Or are we going to allow it to be perverted and be something that draws us away? Now, the person who's coming in and has been in that lifestyle in some way or manner needs to experience that the desire for us to have them there is for them to get to know God in a way that they are loved and satisfied that their sin could never bring them to.
You can join us, 800-338-7060. That's toll free. And the local number, 410-483-3700. Look forward to having you participate. Or if you'd want to share something on the chat, go right ahead. But just let us know that you're out there and you're listening to this all-important theme and subject. You know, people ask us, well, you know, what is your church's position on same-sex relationships, alternative sexual lifestyle? Well, we have a biblical position. And
exactly.
This is what's so great about it. It's like we're not changing our position based upon contemporary times.
Nope.
We have a biblical conviction about this. Now, we can go back to the Bible and say, well, what does the scripture have to say? Well, you know, if we were to endorse same-sex relationships, that would contradict the scripture. That would contradict what God says about this theme and subject. And today, there's a movement that seems to be going in the direction that we are going to change our position about same-sex relationships. Mm-hmm. But to do that, what do you have to do? You have to undermine the validity of the scriptures.
Absolutely.
And this is the trend that we see happening in the world today. And that's frightening because that's like saying God is changing.
That's,
you know,
right.
God's becoming more contemporary in his thinking. Finally, God's becoming more hip and he understands what we're up against as a culture in the world that we live in. Come on.
Yeah. No, I mean, Hebrews 13 says it very clearly that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he designed us, he designed us with a very specific purpose for marriage. And you can read it right from the beginning of Genesis when God created Eve for Adam. It was to be a helpmeet, you know, to somebody to complement, somebody to fulfill. And they were instantly drawn to one another and were joined together and were not living in shame. They were in the garden naked and weren't living in shame. It wasn't until sin came in that they started understanding the shame that was involved there. As Christians, our starting point for understanding human sexuality is the scripture. It's the scripture. If we're not going to take a look at what the scripture says, and we're just going to move the goalposts every time we want to try some new perversion. How long is it before, you know, and we've already seen this, but it goes from same sex to transgender to man boy to whatever kind of perversion makes a person happy, because love is something that exists between a man and another person. Well, that's not love. That's lust. That's lust. That's something that I would like to consume my desires or have my desires met in something that is outside of real satisfaction, and it's not the design of God.
Boy, that is the truth. And again, someone shared it earlier this week on one of our earlier broadcasts, but love always has to be directed by truth.
Yes.
Our love, in fact, Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he says in verse 9 of chapter 1, our love has to be guided and directed and discerned by truth, more yes. and more with the truth of the scriptures. So, again, I've seen the billboards, you know, love is love. Yeah. Well, please, that's got to be defined. And who better to define love than God himself, who in 1 John chapter 4 it says God is love.
Yes.
So I would like to let God define what love is, and not, as you mentioned, my own personal gratification.
Yeah, society speaks very openly about their views on sexuality.
Yeah.
However, we don't hear much of society saying, practice abstinence, practice loving unconditionally, give preference to the other person, love somebody like it's all about them and not about you, love somebody like Christ loved the church and laid down his life for it. You know, we talk about being open and being able to express whatever we want. Are we really truly open? Are we really truly expressing whatever we want? Or are we narrowly being pushed into an identity that really is coming from Satan's viewpoint, which is anything that has to do with glorifying God in the way that he designed it being perverted or corrupted? Because of course he doesn't want to glorify God, and he doesn't want people to experience a relationship with a glorified God, and he certainly doesn't want their actions glorifying God. So he brings in another whole thing that will satisfy, when really the truth is there is no satisfaction outside of genuine love in Christ.
Amen. Well, the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you at 410-483-3700 locally. And if you're anywhere in North America, give us a call at 800-338-7060. John, who's listening in London in the UK, said, thank God for this subject. My heart towards those who practice different sexual lifestyles has been enlightened by this teaching. And again, I'm tuning in and watching from the United Kingdom over in London. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. And glad to hear that, because, you know, I just feel, you know, I remember soul winning once. We were in the state capital of Pennsylvania, up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and we were preaching the gospel on the streets, just, you know, giving gospel tracts out, talking to people. And I remember going, you know, approaching this one young man, and he said, oh, you don't want to talk to me. Hmm. And I said, why is that? And he said, because I'm gay. And I said, well, why wouldn't I want to talk to you? In other words, the message that they seem to be getting and understanding is that we are the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, you know, the responsibility falls on our shoulders as believers to say, hey, listen, we preach the gospel to every human being,
mm-hmm.
because every human being has been covered under that blanket indictment of God, which is you have missed the mark, you've fallen short of the glory of God, and as a result, you need salvation. And many times, you know, people that practice a gay lifestyle, they say, well, you know what, I was born this way. My response to that is, you mean you were born a sinner? Well, so wasn't I.
Yeah.
You were born a sinner. I was too, which is why I needed a Savior, and that's why you need a Savior as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is, it's become such a taboo subject to even touch, you know, why somebody has chosen the lifestyle that they've chosen. But we, and, you know, we are compassionate human beings, and we understand there is, and we, this was said earlier in the week on the broadcast, and we can repeat it, but we understand that there are people who have been affected by abuse, by you know, relationships that force them into decisions that they would not have made normally. We understand there are horrific, horrific things that have happened to people that have caused them to despise, you know, men in their lives, so they get involved in a same-sex lesbian affair. You know, boys who have been affected by abusive parents who get involved in illicit homosexual affairs. We understand that. And it is a reality that is, because of the wicked, sinful nature of men, it's a reality. But also, it is a very frustrating road to try to find something that has been a source of major hurt and pain, to try to satisfy that with another illicit relationship. There's really only one way that we can be healed, and that's to be touched by the mercy of Jesus Christ. So it's a painful thing to watch, and to find people who, like you said, this man who says, oh, you don't want to talk to me, I'm homosexual. Yeah, and, you know, every one of us is murderous and adulterous and all those other things if we're not living in the fruit of the Spirit. That's the beautiful thing about Galatians 5, 18 through 22, is that it does not talk about just works of the flesh without saying there's something that follows the works of the flesh. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law against. You can experience the fruit of the Spirit liberally, as much as you'd like, without shame and without concern of failure. We're going to experience the love, the joy, the peace, all of those things that represent the fruit of God's Spirit.
You know, there's a passage of Scripture that I really meditate on and think about frequently. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, and Paul writes, and he says, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Mm.
He says, don't be deceived, neither fornicators. And again, he's talking about those who practice these kinds of sinful lifestyles. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And I think the self-righteous could stop right there at verse 10 and say, yes, amen, tell them. But then verse 11 says, and such were some of you.
Mm.
Oh, in other words, if you didn't fall into one of those categories, you fell into a different category there. But then he says, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I mean, that just puts it all in perspective.
Yes.
We have got to be a community of grace. We have people that practice the sinful lifestyle, and that's what it is. We can't, that doesn't, you know, we can use the words alternative. It's kind of like what we hear today when people talk about, well, we know it's abortion, but what do they call it? They call it, you know, what do they call it? I'm stuck.
It's not pro-life. It's pro-choice.
Pro-choice.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, health care.
Yes.
Oh, healthcare. There you go. Health care. In other words, all we want is health care for women. But why don't you just come out and say what we're really talking about here, taking an innocent life?
Yeah.
But no, if you say it's health care, well, that makes people say, well, of course everybody should have a right to health care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, we're not singling this sin out as if it were the worst of the worst. We're saying it's sin, and anybody that sins, which is everybody, needs a Savior.
Yeah, amen. I mean, Satan wants people to live outside of God's viewpoint in every area of their lives. He opposes us. John 10:10 says the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Christ comes to bring life, and that life, everlasting life. I love this verse in Proverbs 28:18, Pastor Love. It says, "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." You know, we walk uprightly. It's the upper righteousness of God. It's not the self-righteousness of man, right? It's the upper righteousness of God. We don't have a standing in our flesh that will please God. None of it's going to please God. But we do experience this incredible life. And Satan does not want us to experience it. Doesn't want us to experience it, and wants self-preservation. And, you know, which one of us could say in our hearts, and I think we do this oftentimes, we say, yeah, I may be I may be weak, but I'm not that perverted. I'm not that kind of a person. You know, in our hearts, we are murderous, adulterous, fornicating people.
Yeah.
And we need the mercy of God as anyone else does. Yeah,
that's just relative righteousness.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go to our caller waiting to join us. Susan is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Susan, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Lowe, Pastor Barry. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you.
Thank you, same to you.
Thank you. This is a great show. And I was just recalling years ago, I had a friend who was gay. And we were talking one day, and all of a sudden he looked at me and he said, "You know, I know I'm going to hell because I'm gay."
Mm.
And I said, "No, no, 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 you're not." I said, "That wouldn't be the reason you're going to hell at all." I said, "Jesus died on the cross to pay for all of our sins, all of our faults, shortcomings, whatever. The reason we or you will end up in hell for eternity is because you haven't received Christ and that sacrifice for your into your life." And he was taken back by that. I said, "You can't use your sin, your homosexuality, for an excuse." Mm. I said, "You have to receive Christ as your Savior." But people look at it as my sins taking me to hell.
Yes.
You know, and they have it all backwards because he's paid for all of our sins. And
Amen.
So I don't know if he ever got saved. He didn't with me that day, but, you know, he heard it from several different directions. So, you know, of course, that's between him and God, and he's gone now. So I really don't. I'll just believe the best.
Yes. That, I mean, that's such a great point, Susan, because listen to what Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says. And again, this is at the end of the Bible, but God is making this pronouncement. And he says in verse 8, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars will all have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." In other words, this particular sin, which has such an emphasis among churches today, is not even up there at the top. It starts out by saying the fearful and the unbelieving, those groups are mentioned first and foremost. And then, of course, there is a whole list of those. But as you pointed out, Susan, you know, this sin, like any sins, comes forth out of a heart that is unbelieving. And it just keeps, as you pointed out, the issue becomes, it's Christ.
Right. Yep. So it kind of levels all the playing field, doesn't it?
It
right at the
does.
Cross.
It does.
You know, and it gives peace, too, because, you know, it just cancels it all out and says, "This is what you're left with, Jesus."
Yeah.
You know,
I love that.
Choose life, choose Christ.
And
you know?
Didn't God do that on purpose? Didn't he take the blanket and, you know, cast the indictment on the entire human race? Romans 11 chapter says he condemned all so that he might have mercy on all. Mm. So it's really the grace of God that the whole world is covered by this indictment, because it makes everybody a candidate for salvation.
Amen. And he's no respecter of persons. So
Amen.
We're all in the same boat.
Yeah. And thank God the boat we're in now is called the fellowship.
Yeah.
Say, now we're in a different boat.
Yeah.
The best boat.
Amen.
Anyway, well, thank you so much. I love you all. And God bless you and have a great day.
Thank you, Susan.
Happy Thanksgiving. Let's go to Madeline next. She has a comment that she'd like to share. Madeline, welcome. Madeline, are you there?
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, yes. Hi, Pastor Love. God bless you and Pastor Barry. Thank you for this conversation. And I'm just very broken because I just feel like, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your love.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember being very convicted years ago. We were in outreach in Fells Point. And I always thought, you know, it's like, well, you know, they needed, you know, people homosexualized, so they needed to get drawn to the love of God, right? But I think I had a little attitude about it. And I remember this man who clearly was having an identity issue running by me. And I said, oh, wow. And then the Holy Spirit checked me right there. I love that man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I felt very, very, very convicted about it. Mm. And he's not a respecter of anybody or anything. And that's been really, really deep for me lately. Show me a no more but love and kindness and compassion. I mean, how are they going to be drawn if they don't see something different, you know?
That's a great
point.
Than the
world's going to give them.
That's a great point. Didn't Jesus say in John chapter 13, verse 35, this is how all men will know you're my disciples?
Mm.
How? Will it be our condemnation of a particular lifestyle? Will it be the length of our hair? You know, will it be something? No, it will be by the love that we have for each other and for those in the world.
Mm. Right. Absolutely.
Madeline, thank you for the call, and thanks so much for the kind birthday greetings the other day. I got your message, and thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. And, hey, it's still you can celebrate your birthday.
Why not?
Birthday month.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, thank you so much.
God bless you, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. Thank you.
And thanks for listening on a regular basis.
We don't want to over-celebrate our birthdays.
No, not when you reach a certain milestone.
That's right.
You want to forget them.
When you're in your 30s like we are, Pastor Love.
That's right.
This is
See, there you go. All men are liars.
We're just a little hyperbole. I like this comment from Nestor that we have here that he's working out in Sykesville today, and there's many young people who have turning to this that have no clue what they're doing. Continue to love and pray for them. God bless. It's such a key point. Many people in our society aren't shy about promoting their sexual agenda, while the church has often been quiet on the topic, and this speaks a little bit to what Madeline was just saying too. They're afraid to talk about a biblical perspective on sexuality. Well, the biblical perspective is there's a proper design, and we are living in it or living outside of it. And either way, we need Christ in it, outside of it. We need Christ. And I love the fact that we can, as believers, have a heart for people who aren't experiencing everything God's designed for them to experience. And we can have a heart for people in that situation to say, you know, boy, we care you enough for you to show you what God has shown us, which is his unconditional love and his mercy and the fact that we deserve hell, but we get mercy and grace instead. What a beautiful, beautiful thought.
Amen to that. And isn't it true, Pastor Barry, that in the culture that we live in today, and it's so progressive in its nature, that if you take a stand in our politically correct mm-hmm. environment, it may cost you something?
Absolutely. I mean, we are constantly in our society seeing people who are canceled for taking a stand for truth. You know, if you have the audacity to stand up and to say that God's mind for something is righteous, then you are a bigot, you are narrow-minded. You know, actually, we are to be narrow-minded. We don't just have an open sieve that takes in everything that the world would like to dump down it. We're not a drain. You know, we are somebody who has been given direction by the Word of God. And actually, we live very happy, satisfied, fulfilled lifestyles. We don't have to entertain all the things that society would love us for us to entertain. We can focus on the real design for God's for life that we experience.
Amen.
Yeah.
You still have time to join us at 800-338-7060 if you'd like to get the last word in on this subject matter. And locally here in Baltimore, it's 410-483-3700. Let's listen to what Aretta has to say. And Aretta is joining us from the Baltimore area. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving, Aretta.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Pastor. And you're the Pastor. Pastor Lover, man loving this sinner. We're living in Romans 1, Pastor Lover.
Yeah.
Men love their sinner. And they know sinner from righteousness. For God, every human being coming to this world coming with God consciousness in their heart, the Spirit of God in them. Only thing becoming dead, but they know there is a God. They know right from wrong, Pastor Lover. And they know what they're doing is evil. But Jesus told the Pharisees and of justice that they would, that's why they won't come to him, that they might be saved. And that's the age we're living in. Men love their sinner. We're in Romans 1. And I have been told on YouTube, I get a lot of words on YouTube. They call me Lucifer 666. Mm. They told me they will never repent. And something in the morning, my phone will click, somebody answering me back. Because, they call me a preacher on YouTube. That's my name now. That's why I'm a preacher on YouTube. And no matter what scriptures I give them, they wouldn't read the scripture, but they're going to text me back with their lies. Men love their sin. That's why they would not repent. And the enemy blinded their spiritual eyes that they cannot accept the truth.
Well, doesn't it come down to what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 18? He said, he who believes in me is not condemned, but who does not believe is condemned already.
Mm.
And then verse 19 says, and you reiterated this, Aretha, from Romans chapter 1, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Everybody that practices evil hates the light, doesn't want to come to the light, lest their deeds be exposed. But if you do the truth, you will come to the light, that your deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So it does come down to a choice. Some people, even when confronted with the truth and know the truth, will still choose darkness and still choose to reject that truth. And again, it is their choice. And people can choose to live this lifestyle, and even though they know better and they say, hey, I even know it's wrong, but that's their responsibility. Each and every individual will someday stand before God for the decisions that they make.
Yes.
And again, we can't force people into the kingdom. We can only share the truth about God's love, his grace, his redemption, and hopefully, the Spirit of God will move upon their hearts and bring them in that direction.
Mm. That's right. You all have a blessed Thanksgiving. Love you all.
Thank you, Aretha. God bless you.
Yes.
Pastor Love, just maybe in the last couple seconds we have here together, we talked a lot about how these kinds of lifestyles are not in God's purpose. Maybe we could just say for the record that God does have a purpose for relationships, and that purpose is that we are created in the image of God. We are created with diversity and distinctive separateness, male and female. We're humans called not only to reflect our own image and likeness, but God's image and likeness. And we represent the stewardship that God has given us of everything that's in his creation. He says to us, go be fruitful and multiply. And in that unity, the joining together of one flesh, right, that we come together in unity and in marriage, which really, again, despite all our differences, despite all our shortcomings, despite all our failures, that we can have unity in a marriage is such a testimony of the grace of God. And I think we would be remiss if we didn't say that coming together as one flesh is so unique. But that union that comes forth and the life that is produced out of that is really the spreading of the image of God, which is his oneness, his overcoming the weakness of the flesh by the cross and his blood and his merciful salvation.
And as we get ready to close today's broadcast, we'd like to magnify just that truth, that we are so thankful that God so loved each one of us that he sent his son into this world to die for us so that we would not, think about it, we would not perish. Mm-hmm. And let's remember that God is not willing that any should perish, which is why Christ became a payment, a propitiation for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. And friends, that includes you if you're listening today. And if you've never made a decision to trust Christ in a personal way, we want to encourage you to do that. It will be the best decision you will ever make in your life.
Yes.
You'll be receiving the forgiveness of your sins. You'll start a relationship with God. Mm. He'll put you on a track that will just bring life and life more abundantly into your soul. So make that decision today. If you never have, say, Jesus, come into my heart, cleanse me of my sin, save me, bring me into your family, and allow me to participate into that abundant life that you promised all those that trust you by faith. Mm. And if you did receive Christ, please let us know, just so we can celebrate your spiritual birth together with you. Yeah. Pastor Barry, thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Love.
Friends, have a blessed Thanksgiving. And we look forward to joining you on tomorrow's Grace Hour broadcast. Tune in then if you're able to. And until next time, have a blessed, blessed day.